Right, so first of all, I'll tell you something about my own journal, which is the Journal of Advanced Nursing.
先来谈一下他自己总主编的这个期刊。
We have an international editorial board, and that includes people from mainland China, and one of my editors is from mainland China.
他那个先谈一下自己总主编的这个，他的这个编委会呢是个国际性的，里面有很多内地的这个学者，其中有一个编辑呢是中国的。
And if you add the submissions from mainland China, Hong Kong, and Taiwan together, that's the biggest group of papers submitted to my journal.
大家如果把这个香港、台湾还有内地的所有的这个投的这个这个论文呢放在一起的话，那么这是他们这个占比最高的一个投稿群体。
So to us, China is very important.
对这个期刊来说呢，中国是非常重要的。能听清楚吗？
And now we have a reciprocal arrangement with the Chinese Journal of Nursing Management, whereby they publish one of our articles every month, and we publish one of theirs.
他们跟现在跟中国的那个护理管理呢有一个合作的协议，就是有一个合作的这个协议。如果是说那个中国护理管理杂志呢发一篇那个他们发一篇来自中国护理管理杂志推荐的这个论文的话，那么中国护理管理的期刊呢也会同样发一篇他们给推荐的这个论文。
Is that the general
of Chinese Journal of Nursing Management?
Okay.
Yeah.
Correct.
And from last month, from October, all of our titles are in Chinese and all of our abstracts are in Chinese. So if you go to the website for new papers, you can read the abstract in Chinese.
从那个十月份开始的时候呢，他们开始有中文的这个论文的题目，也有中文的这个摘要。所以呢，大家如果到网站上去看这个Journal of Advanced Nursing 呢，就能看到中文的题目和中文的摘要，很好的进步。
So I'll say it again. China is very important to us, and I come to China 3 or 4 times a year as a result of working on the journal. So I'm very familiar with China.
他中国对他很重要。他那个因为这个期刊的原因呢，他每年大概有3-4次呢会到中国来。
Okay. We publish 12 issues every year, and we publish roughly 300 papers every year.
每年大概是出那个12期，这样子有300多篇这个论文。
However, we get something like 1,500 submissions every year. 1,500.
Okay. 每年他接受的这个投稿呢，大概是1,500左右。
So we only accept around 20% of the papers that are submitted.
接受率呢，大概是20%左右。
So it's quite difficult to get published, but it's not impossible.
很难发表，但不是说不可能。
Our impact factor, as someone already said, is 2.267, which means it's over 2 the first time we've been there. And out of 118 journals, we are number 7.
那么刚才已经我们的孔书记说过了哈，它的这个影响因子很高，是2.267，第一次超过二，就今年是第一次超过二，是一共护理的期刊的118个中排位是第7位。
And I will not be happy until we're number one.
他直到是成为第一名，他才会觉得高兴。
So, but we are the highest cited nursing journal in the world.
但是呢，他们的这个护理的期刊中是被引用率最高的一个这个期刊。
And last year we had over 16,000 citations.
这个去年的时候，它的总的这个索引率呢，就是大家看见那个数字哈，16,000多。
So that helps to contribute towards the impact factor, but because we're quite big, it's a ratio, so we have to work harder to get to the top.
所以呢，他要想提高他的这个影响因子的话，就必须要被引用的这个数字呢要非常大才行，因此需要很努力。
I'll be very happy at the end of the session to take any questions about the journal if you want to ask me anything.
所以就是他讲完以后呢，有足够的时间大家可以问问题，关于怎么向他的这个刊物投稿的问题。
Okay, what I want to look at now are the criteria for SCI journals.
下面呢，他就来谈一下关于这个 SCI 的所收录的一些期刊中一些相关的标准的问题。
And the company that is now responsible for this is called Clarivate.
现在那个这个管这个就负责这个 ICI 期刊索引期刊那个这个录用的叫什么呢？纳入的这个公司呢，不再是汤森路特了，变成了是叫Clarivate， 这是个新的公司。
Okay, and Clarivate select the journals very, very carefully, and they also run the impact factor system.
这个 Clarivate 这个公司呢，选择所就是收录的这个期刊的时候呢，很认真、很严谨。那么他们同时也运营了关于那个影响因子是怎么算的啊？
Okay, so we're still on this page here.
Okay, so
what I'm going to talk about are the basic publishing standards that are required to be an SCI journal.
他现在就说一下这个基本的这个标准哈。
Okay, and talk about the editorial content that's required for the journal.
再看一下他们这个审核的一些内容哈。
And the international focus that's necessary.
再就是这个期刊的一些主要的那个重点的内容。
And also the citation analysis that Clarivate do.
这就是那个关于索引的分析。
Okay. So if you can find everything you need to know about the Clarivate system on their web page.
大家从这个网页上面可以看到所有的关于这个 Clarivate 这个公司他们选录这个期刊的时候的整个过程。
So the system is very rigorous and. Sometimes it really doesn't matter what the size of an impact factor is. If a journal has an impact factor, it means it's been selected by Clarivate and it meets certain very high standards.
那么他写的这个标准呢是非常严格的。你影响因子呢并不是至关重要的。你没有影响因子呢，但是也可以通过这个严格的这个筛选的过程呢，把这个期刊呢给收录到这个 ICI 的这个库里面去。
So first of all, I'll have a look at the publishing standards that are required.
现在呢，他就来看这个关于所收录的期刊中他这个发表的这个标准的问题。
So first of all, the basic requirement is that journals which are on the list have to be peer reviewed.
所有的这个期刊呢，都必须包含有同行专家的这个审阅的这个过程。
And they have to use at least two reviewers for each paper.
每一个期刊的论文呢，至少需要有两个评审专家。
But beyond that, they don't specify if it's double-blind or open review. Just they have to have a peer review system. That's the bottom line.
至于那个审阅的过程是不是那个评议那个专家和这个什么之间的都没关系，必须得有两个同行专家审阅。
They also need to have a system for acknowledging other contributions to papers, so not just authors, but contributions such as data collection or a data analysis, things that don't necessarily mean you're an author, but they must have a way of collecting other information about authors, about people who contribute towards the paper.
它还有一个部分的内容呢，就必须要包含有致谢，除了这个，那不是那个作者的那一部分内容，还要有其他的所有有贡献于这篇论文，尤其包括那个资料收集的这个整个过程，所以要致谢。
All the journals have to conform to ethical publishing practices. They have to make sure that they're running a system that deals with things like similarity, plagiarism, duplication, openness, honesty, all these things.
还要有一部分内容就是关于这个伦理发表伦理的问题，它必须要有一个体系呢去处理那些关于论文的相似性、论文的这个重复性，就是研究的这个重复性，还有就是那个剽窃的这些问题。
One good example of a good ethical practice is that editors are not allowed to ask you to cite their journal when you submit a paper. That sometimes happens, but that shouldn't happen with journals on the Clarivate system.
其中一个伦理的要求，他举个例子啊，就是这个期刊的总主编呢，不会要求你在交论文的时候呢，一定要索引他们自己期刊的这个论文。
So if an editor ever asks you to cite their own journal in a paper you're submitting, that's wrong.
如果有哪个主编的话，让你在提交论文的时候呢，告诉你要索引他们的这个期刊，那个是不对的哈。
They also pay attention to the publishing formats, and these days, I think all the journals have to be online, not necessarily on hard copy.
还有一个呢，就是关于这个发表的这个形式的问题。现在呢，就是不必要一定要是纸版的，可以是电子版的，而且是要在线发表。
And they have to have a very clear organization, such as abstract, introduction, methods, references. All these things have to be clear within the papers.
而且这个期刊呢，必须要声明说得很清楚，关于这个摘要呀，这个前言，还有就是方法学呀，还有就是那个研究这个参考文献，有明确的这个规定。
Journals also have to state when they're going to publish and publish near those deadlines. They can't just please themselves.
还有一个呢，要说清楚的就是大概什么时候会出内容，然后不是说想什么时候出就是什么时候出。
So if a journal advertises that it's going to publish 12 issues in a year and it's going to publish them all within that year, it has to do that or do it ahead of time or it risks losing its SCI status.
还有一个，比如说他要是说一年就发表12期，那他假如说我要多发表比这个多，他需要提前进行规划，然后要提前说清楚。
So with a journal like mine, that's not a problem because we have lots of copy, we're always ahead of time by about 2 months.
对于他这个期刊来说都不是问题，因为他的这个投稿的那个论文呢很多，所以说他一般就在2个月之前的时候就基本上知道这个刊物什么时候会出来，就已经确定下来了。
The journals have to conform to international editorial conventions, and it's very important that authors know about these too, and I will talk about these later.
还有一个呢，就是所有的这个国际性的刊物呢，都必须要遵守这个国际的编委会的，就是他们它的一些相关的一些规定。
And almost every year there are new standards and conventions being brought into the publishing industry, and good journals have to be up to date and ahead of the field on that. They have to conform to all of them.
还有一个呢，就是这个机构，这是一个专业机构哈，它每年的时候呢都会有新标准出来，所以说所有的这个刊物呢都要随着这个新标准的这个发布呢进行这个更新。
And the full text of the journal has to be available in English.
所有的这个国际刊物的这个英文的全文呢，都必须要能够获得。
So that does bias the system against journals from other countries, I'm afraid. But it's not good enough just to have an abstract. The full paper has to be available in English.
当然，这对其他那些不是使用英语为语言的这个国家呢，是不公正的。但是现在是要求所有的论文的全文都要有英文。
Then Clarivate look for different aspects of editorial content. It looks to see if the content of the journal will enrich the database on that topic. What it's basically looking to see is does the journal publish new material that's going to be useful for people who read the journal.
第二个内容呢，就是这个公司呢，它会审查这个所有的这些刊物，对这个审稿的这些内容方面有要求。它是要求你所发表的这些内容呢，要有一些新的资料，对整个的要有贡献。
So a journal can't just do what other journals do. It has to do something unique. It has to say how it's different from other journals.
还有就是每一个期刊发表的这个东西呢，它必须都得是独树一帜的，要区别于其他的这个刊物，不能是重复别的刊物所做的。
Right. And this is quite difficult to achieve when you apply for status as an SCI journal. You never quite know exactly what they're looking for. It's quite vague, but you need to do your best to address these things.
当你的这个期刊被 SCI 这个收入这个数据库收入的时候，有的时候挺难的，因为你并不确定这个你的这个东西到底跟别人的究竟是有别于哪些地方。
Journals need to have an international focus. They can't just be focused in one country.
这个刊物就是 SCI 的这个所有的这个刊物呢，都比较有一个国际性的一个侧重点，不能只是局限于一个国家。
So the journals have to demonstrate this by having an international editorial board, as I said at the beginning, and also the authors and the editors should be from different parts of the world.
它其中一个呢，就是它的这个编委会呢，一定要是一个国际性的。再有一个，这个论文的这个来源，论文的作者们呢，都要是来自不同的国家。
So obviously you can't just set up a journal and immediately become an SCI journal. It takes several years to achieve these things.
所以你这个即便是那个新有一个就是新发行的一个这个期刊，这个期刊大概得需要花几年的时间才能变成 SCI 的这个被收录的这个期刊。
And the minimum time that you can take to become an SCI journal is 3 years, but usually it takes much longer.
一般来说至少需要三年才能变成一个 ICI 收购的这个清单，通常都会花更多的时间。
And usually you have to go through a process of being listed on PubMed first before you apply for SCI, and that has a whole different set of criteria.
那么一般来说呢，你的书店需要首先被美国的那个 PubMed， 就是美国国立医学图书馆他们所收录，之后那个体系呢就跟这个体系呢完全不一样。
And it's not easy and it's not guaranteed. I edit two journals and my other journal has just applied for PubMed status and we failed to get it by a very small margin, but we didn't get it, so we have to try again.
Okay, 那么它是这样的，这个 PubMed 呢不是很轻易的能够收录你的这些期刊，比如说像这个期刊嘛，那个它就那个分数呢差一点点没有被收录，所以已经被拒绝了，所以它还要再试一次。
But once we get that in my other journal, then we will try to get SCI status as well.
他那个那一旦被这个 PubMed 收录以后呢，他接着就要开始努力去获得 ICI 的这个收录。
And then everyone from China will want to publish in it.
是未来之后每一个中国人都想在那上面发表这个刊物，发表论文。Very ambitious.
Okay. Well. Okay. So the other thing that the important thing that the visible part of what Clarivate do is the citation analysis, and they produce the total citations and the impact factor.
另外一个这个 Clarivate 公司做的大家都有目共睹的一些事情呢，就是跟这个索引分析，一个就是它有全索引，另外一个呢就是我们的说的影响粒子。
They do advertise which papers they consider are eligible for impact factor, and they do say how it's calculated, but they never say exactly how. It's impossible for a journal to predict accurately its impact factor because they do a lot of analysis that we can't do.
Okay, 因为这个公司呢，其实做很多这个我们一般的刊物都无法做的一些分析。它可以说是哪一个刊物呢将它会有一个影响因子，但是这些影响因子呢都是无法预测的。
But every year we try to predict our impact factor as closely as possible, and we never quite get it right.
他们每年其实都会预测自己的这个期刊呢能够达到的这个影响因子尽可能的接近，但他们很难，基本上都没有准确的预测过。
They also take into consideration the kinds of people who are contributing and who are editorial board members. So they look to see if they are the kind of people who have got a citation history themselves.
他们有一样做的分析呢，就是看一下他这个编委会的这个人员，以及所有的这个论文的这些作者们，看这些人都是来自什么样的背景，他们自己的这个发表的这个刊这个期刊的这个情况，以及他们投稿的那些期刊中的影响因子情况。
Yeah. That information isn't published, but it's very important for us as editors to have teams who are prestigious, people who publish, and also to attract authors who are well published.
这个对一般人来说可能没什么，但对他们来说很重要，因为他们也希望那些有声望的人能够给他们投稿这个期刊，也希望那些发表背景很好的那些人给他们。
They also check that the field of the journal is accounted for. If the journal says it's publishing in a certain area, that they are publishing in that area. We advertise in Journal of Advanced Nursing that we publish in nursing. If we published nuclear physics, that wouldn't be acceptable. The articles would have to be in our area.
还有一个呢，就是所有的刊物呢，要必须非常明确的说明他们所发表的这个论文呢，都是在哪个领域里面。比如这样，他的这个期刊的话，他就是发表护理领域的，所以他要发表其他领域的这个论文的话，那就是一个问题。
They're also very careful to make sure that journals aren't citing themselves too much.
还有一个呢，就是每一个刊物呢都不会进行自索引太多。
And it's very rare, but occasionally journals are removed from the SCI list if they cite themselves too much.
有的这个期刊，就 SCI 收录的这个期刊呢，如果他们自己索引自己这个刊物发表的论文太多的时候呢，就会被那个 SCI 这个什么呢给除名。
And one nursing journal called Nursing Science Quarterly was removed many years ago and has never ever managed to get back onto the impact factor list again.
其中有一个原来比较好的一个护理的期刊，就因为这个问题呢被除名，很多很多年以后呢也没有再回到这个 ICI 被收录的期刊的名录里。
So we're allowed to cite our own material, but not to do it too much. And of course, they never say exactly where the limit is. We just have to make sure we don't do it too often.
其实每一个刊物呢都会希望自己索引自己的这个论文，但是你别做得太过分了。
Okay, so that's all I want to say about the SCI system. It's a very rigorous system. It's one that we are very happy to be part of. We work hard to stay on that list, and we work very hard to move up the impact factor table.
前面讲的这些内容呢，就是关于 SCI 这个收录期刊的这样的一个过程。因为这个过程呢比较的严格，所以呢他们就很高兴自己已经是被其中收录的其中一个成员。现在的目标呢，就是把这个影响因子呢再往上提啊，继续往上走。
And we also understand how important it is for people in certain parts of the world, particularly in China, to publish in SCI journals.
他们知道呢，在很多的地方，特别是像中国这样的地方呢，在 SCI 收录的期刊里面呢，发表论文呢，非常的重要
So what we also, as editors, put a lot of effort into is traveling the world and trying to help people to publish in SCI journals, trying to tell them how to address these criteria.
所以呢，他作为这个期刊的这个总主编呢，需要在世界各地的去走来走去，这样子告诉大家这样一个发表的过程，同时呢，也给大家一些机会能够把论文发表。
So what I want to talk about first of all is the publishing process.
现在要说的呢，就是关于这个发表论文的这个过程的一个讲解。
This is not the most exciting topic, but it's one which I find many people don't understand.
这个呢不是个让人很兴奋的一个话题，但是呢，他觉得很多投稿的人呢都大概不太了解这个发表的这个过程。
When you submit a paper to a journal, to any high quality journal, they all have almost exactly the same systems.
你往任何这个 SCI 的论文期刊进行投稿的时候呢，基本上所有的这个体系和这个过程呢都是一样的。
And the more you understand about those systems, the more you will understand what's happening to your paper, and the more you will understand why you're being asked to do certain things.
你对这个体系呢了解的越清楚，那么你就越明白人家让你去做特定的事情的时候，到底是为了什么。
So I'm just going to run through the process. Don't try to remember all this.
他就给大家来简单的看一下这些内容，没有必要花心思去记住它哈。
Basically, at the top of the diagram, all the manuscripts that are submitted to a journal come directly to whoever is in charge of the journal. In the case of my journal, they come to me.
大家投稿在那个投稿系统里面投稿以后呢，就直接到那个总主编手里面，谁负责谁就收到这些投稿。
So every morning at about 6:30, I get up, and by 7 o'clock, I've logged in before I go to my work, and I'm looking at the papers that have come in the previous day from various authors. Sometimes 5 papers, sometimes 10, sometimes 20 papers.
他大概早晨6:30左右起床，7点钟的时候呢，就会打开进入这个体系，就能够看到头一天他所收到的这个论文，有的时候是5篇，有的时候10多篇，不一定。
And I check them very, very quickly. I don't read them in detail because I don't have time to do that. But I check them very quickly for certain things to see if I want to put the paper forward into the journal or if indeed I want to reject it at that stage.
他就是呢，很简单的浏览一下这些论文，不会看得特别仔细，看一些特定的一些内容，主要就是决策一下我要不要把这个论文给拒掉呀，或者是我要把这个论文转给谁呀。
And I probably reject about half of the papers that come in at that point. So within 24 hours of submitting your paper, you will either have it back again, rejected. If you don't get it back again, you'll know that it's at least gone into the system.
对他来说，他一般是24个小时之内呢，就会，如果他决定退稿的话，你在24个小时之内就会收到这个退稿的这个通知。
And as I say, I don't have much time to read the papers. I'm looking for very superficial things, really. I'm looking for interesting titles, titles that are not too long. I'm looking for an abstract that attracts me and follows the guidance for the journal.
因为时间比较短了，所以他要看得很快。他一般就看你的题目是不是很有意思，不要太长。再一个就看你写的这个论文的这个摘要呢，是不是符合这个期刊的这个论文摘要的这个规范性的要求。
And I would say that of the 50% of the papers that I reject at that point, most of them get rejected because they have not followed the guidance for the journal. I can tell that immediately.
一般来说呢，他大部分拒稿呢，是因为他们写的这个摘要呢，不符合这个期刊这个对摘要的要求。
And yesterday, I had an email from a PhD student at another Chinese university who asked me to look at her paper and asked me why it had been rejected, not by my journal, but by another journal.
他昨天的时候呢，收到一个博士生的这个来自另外一个大学的博士生的这个论文，然后就问他说，为什么我的这个论文会被这个哪一个刊，不是他的刊物哈，会被拒稿
？And I knew the journal very well because I've published in it.
因为他对这个刊物呢非常了解，因为他在那里呢发表过论文。
And within about 10 seconds of looking at the paper, I could see one reason why she'd been rejected.
就看了十秒钟就知道为什么他会被拒稿了。
She'd used the wrong referencing system. She'd used Vancouver when the journal uses Harvard. Any editor-in-chief looking at a paper that does that will reject it immediately because it's clear that she hadn't read the guidance to the journal.
因为他用的那个索引的体系呢是用的温哥华的，但事实上那个刊物呢要求用的那个体系呢是这个哈佛的索引体系哈。
So these are easy things to address. There's no excuse for not addressing these things because we give you the guidance.
因为写的这个指南呢写得很清楚，那也很容易就做到，但你就不做呢，很容易就被拒了。
But I also scanned through the paper. She'd left some Chinese characters in some of the headings, and the English wasn't very good either. So it wasn't going to get very far anyway. So there were more reasons than just the guidance.
另外一个呢，就是他会把这个论文呢通稿都看一遍。看呀，是不是还有一些遗留的、没翻译的那个中文的字符在那里？这些还有就是英文写的太差，可能能够一眼就能够看出来，所以这是两个拒稿原因。
So I'll come back to what the editor is looking for in a minute. The next thing that happens to the paper is it goes to one of the editorial assistant team, and they look for similarity to other sources.
还有一个，等会儿他再来说这个关于这个审稿的问题哈。他现在说另外一个，就是论文呢投稿之后呢，他要进入那个审稿体系。进入审稿体系最主要的一个搜寻点呢，就是看你的这个期刊论文跟别的期刊论文之间的那种相似性。
And we use software called Authenticate that checks the paper against everything that's been published on the internet.
他用一个软件叫 Authenticate， 用它来分析你所投稿的这个论文跟其他所有的这个论文之间的这种相似性，它在网上就可以进行分析。
And if the lost it again? Oh, back again. You never know what's happening behind you. If the paper is too similar to other sources, then it will be rejected at that point as well.
如果这个投稿的这个论文跟其他网上可以搜查的资源的相似度太高的话，就基本上拒稿了。
And then the paper goes to I'm lucky. I have a full-time editor working for me in the office called a managing editor. She will read the paper from beginning to end in detail.Check the English, check all the conventions, which I will talk about, and she can reject the paper at that point too if it's not good enough.
他有一个全职的那个管理编辑，这个管理编辑的这个论文现在通过了他的一关审核之后呢，这个论文就会到他那个管理全职的管理编辑那个手里面去，他就会把这个论文呢从头到尾的都读一遍，看一下他是否遵守了所有的这个相关的这个指南和标准。他有拒稿权，如果没有的话就拒了。
So you can see there are several barriers you've got to get past before you get even to one of the associate editors.
所以大家就很明白，就是你的论文到那些副主编的手里边的时候，就已经有了好几道关卡，就可能把你给卡住了。
So if the paper ticks all these boxes, it will then go into the peer review system and be assigned to one of the other editors.
如果是通过了所有的这些过程之后呢，你的论文呢就会被派给一些同行专家，至少两位了哈，有同行专家呢在给你的论文进行审阅。
And the reason we are so strict at the beginning of the process is we do not want to put papers into the system that are unlikely to be accepted. We don't want to waste our time, and we don't want to waste your time either.
他为什么把这个最初的这个过程设定的这么严格呢？是因为他不太想浪费大家彼此的这个时间，不想去让更多的人呢去审核一个不太可能被发表的这个论文。
But of course, some papers are also rejected by the editors because they're not good enough, the peer review system doesn't like it, or they're sent for revision and eventually accepted.
但有的时候呢，也确实会被拒绝。不过经过一番的修改以后呢，有可能最后还会被接受。
So people often complain about being rejected, but nobody's ever complained about being accepted.
大家都抱怨被拒了，很少有人抱怨被接受了。
So what we're trying to do at the various stages, basically the submission process, there are various international standards that are required, and we tell you about these standards.
这是他总结的几个主要的关键的过程。第一个是这个投稿，满足一些国际要求和标准。
The peer review system, basically the paper goes out to two reviewers. Ours is a blind peer review system. You don't know who the reviewer is, the reviewer doesn't know who you are.
第二个呢，就进入这个同行专家的这个审阅的过程，它是双盲的，就是彼此都不知道谁在审，谁在被审，谁在审。
The peer reviewers don't make decisions, the editors make decisions based on the peer reviews.
那么同行专家呢，只是给出审稿的意见，但并不做出是否拒稿的这个说明，是这个编辑呢做出拒稿的这个决定。
And at this point, the editors will tell you why your paper's been rejected or why it's being revised.
这个拒稿的时候呢，这个编辑呢就会说是什么原因被拒的。
We ask you to revise papers.Because we want to make them better. It's not just being awkward. We want to make the paper better.
有的时候会要求你修稿，修稿的目的呢是希望这个论文呢更好一些。
Then the paper will go to production, where it's made to look like a published paper, and that's your final opportunity to check the paper.
然后下一步呢，就进入这个出版发行的这个阶段，就会专门的来看怎样看上去像这个发表的这个论文，仔细的进行检查。
And once the paper is published.We do everything we can to make sure that it's read and scrutinized and cited by other people.
然后他就是把这个论文给发表，发表了以后呢，一些动作就是希望有人来读，然后来索引。
So we use things that you can't access in China. I'm sorry. We use Twitter, Facebook, YouTube to put out information about the paper.
他们通常呢就会通过那个我们在国内不能用的像 Twitter 呀、Facebook 呀这一类的，还有 YouTube 这些东西呢去宣传他们的这些文章，这样别人有更多机会知道啊，所以。
However, every day, or every Monday to Friday, I put out one paper to two WeChat sites. I take a screenshot of the paper and take the URL and I put it out if the paper's by someone who's Chinese or if there's a Chinese title or abstract. So two WeChat sites get papers as well.
他每天从星期一到星期五吧，一般会弄两个推特的这个信息。把这个论文的那个片头呢做个截图，然后把那个网址的链接呢推送出去。
But if you can get it,
I think it's
is it you?
Me? It's echoes.
Oh, okay. So anyway, we've got about 20,000 followers on Twitter, so we've got a big social media presence.
大概有2,300多条这种推送信息吧。
So, understanding the publishing process. First of all, when you're thinking about writing a paper and submitting it, think about the editor. That's the person you need to be thinking about.
再一个就是要了解的这个发表的过程呢，是你首先要了解的一点内容就是那个编辑是什么，都是一些什么人。
And think what the editor wants, and the editor wants a paper that follows the guidance for the journal and fits the scope of the journal. That's what he or she is looking for.
一般来说，编辑呢会看你是不是遵守了他的这种指南性的这种要求。
Then you have to think about the reviewers for your paper.
再要想一下，站在审稿专家的角度上去想，他们是什么样子的。
It's very unlikely that the editor or the editor-in-chief will be an expert in your paper, but we appoint reviewers who should be experts. So you have to write your papers as if they're going to be read by the best person in the field.
你这个写的这个文章啊，你要假想一下哈。一般来说，这个编辑可能不是这个领域里的专家，但通常他们都会找这个领域的专家来审你的这个稿件。所以说，你得假想一下自己写的这个稿件呢，要是这个世界上这个领域里面最棒的一个人写出来的东西。
One of the most common complaints by reviewers is that they don't understand what the author has done. So you need to write your paper very clearly and address a reviewer as if they are really an expert.
你要写自己写的非常的清楚，因为有的时候经常有的抱怨就是这个审稿专家压根就不知道你写的是一个什么东西，所以写清楚。
Of course, you hope that your audience will, you know, the people you're aiming the paper to will read it, cite it and like it, but you've got to get past the editor and the reviewers before you will get to your audience. So don't worry too much about the readers at the beginning. Think about the editors and think about the reviewers.
所以在一开始你的论文投稿的时候呢，不要想着那个谁在读你的论文，你读你的这个文章想的太多，因为你要先通常先过这个编辑和审稿专家的这两关。
Okay, I'm going to use my journal as an example. I'm not here to advertise my journal, but I'll use it as an example. That's the landing page for the Journal of Advanced Nursing.
他现在呢就用自己的这个期刊呢做一个这个例子呢，给大家讲一下这个过程。这是你看到那个期刊的那个首页。
You can see our Chinese editors from Hong Kong and China there.
大家可以看到那个中国的那个编辑，也就是我现在工作的那个学院里的一个教授。
So to contribute to the journal, you click on that drop-down menu, and there you will find the author guidelines. That's the most important thing you can do when you're submitting a paper.
大家进入这个网页以后呢，要去点开一个地点地址，你可以看到是里面有关于那个写作指南，这是你在投稿的时候呢最最重要的一件事情。
And if I could just give you another hint from my experience in China.
下面就给大家谈一个。
I work in several universities, and many students give me manuscripts, which are I work in several universities, and many students give me a manuscript fully written and say, "Where should I submit this?"
他说有中，他跟中国好多这个大学在合作，很多的情况下收到学生们给他投稿的这个论文，然后学生们问说，我应该把这个论文投稿到哪个地方去
？What they should have done was decided where they wanted to submit it, read the guidance, and then written the paper, because inevitably they will have to rewrite the whole paper.
他其实呢是应该自己首先要决定我要往哪个地方投稿，然后去看那个指南，根据那个写作指南的那个要求呢，写出他的论文来。
So I cannot emphasize enough how important it is to read the guidelines. I've said it several times, I'll probably say it again, and I'm saying it once again now. Read the guidelines.
所以呢，他不能说读这个指南到底有多重要，他说过好多次了，再说一次，一定先读指南再写你的论文，按指南的要求写论文。
Now, just out of interest for you, we also put up every article as soon as it's accepted.
他们也会把那个所有的被接受的那个论文呢，也放在网上去让大家注意一下。
So the final version that you submit to the journal, and we say that's okay, the Word document that goes up on the web page before it's made into a PDF.
Okay. 那个这个论文直到最后完全都被检测过，没有任何问题的时候，才会真正的到那个网站上去。
Now that version of the paper is fully published. It has a DOI.With it, which follows it all the way through, so you can cite that paper, you can put it in your CV, you can refer to it, you can do anything you like with it. The paper is fully published; it's just not in the final version.
这个底下看到的这个接受的这个刊物呢，这个样子不是他最后发表的那个样子，最后被完全发表的那个论文呢，是有一个自己的数字代码的，就是 DOI 自己论文的这个数字代码。所以你有了这个 DOI 的这个数字代码呢，那么你就可以把它写到你的这个简历里面去，可以做任何的用途。那是真正的全部发表的那个论文。底下写的这个 accepted article 呢是没有那个 DOI 的。
So the reason we do this is to try and get citations to your paper as early as possible.
他为什么这样做呢？是为了让别人更早的读到你的这个论文，然后让你的论文呢能有更多的机会呢被别人所引。
After that, the paper, once it's made into a PDF, it will go on early view. So it's not in a volume of the journal, but it's online, looking exactly like the final version, just it doesn't have a page number, but still has the DOI.
那么一旦你进入这个过程以后，变成了这个 PDF 的文件呢，就进入这个早期的可阅读阶段。虽然还没有完成这个全部的过程，但是就跟最后被发表的时候的长相、模样都完全一样了。
And then after about 6 months or so, it's assigned to a volume of the journal and published fully.
大概需要六个月的时间，可以让它变成哪一个哪一期哪一刊哪一期哪一册哪一个页码才会最后的留存下来，需要六个月的时间。
It goes into an issue. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about are the international standards for publication.
下面呢，想谈一谈根据这个国际发表有关系的一些标准问题。
Now, there are lots of these. There must be about 20 different standards now. I'm only going to speak about two.
大概一共有二十多个这种标准啊，它现在呢要谈的有两个标准。
And anyone who's thinking of publishing an article should go to the Equator webpage and check it, because all of the standards are gathered together there.
任何人想知道这些具体的标准的话，大家可以去这个 Equator 这个一个网址上面，它里面放了所有的关于这个发表的这个标准的。
But you can also find the standards, you can get links to them separately, but it's really worth having a look at Equator. If you've never looked at it before, go home tonight and have a look at it.
希望大家回去呢都去看看这个 Equator 的这个网站上面，它有非常详细的连接到那些每一个标准的那个链接啊，给您去看一下。
The most important two standards are the ones concerning randomized controlled trials and systematic reviews.
其中有两个最主要的这个指南呢，一个就是系统文献综述，还有一个呢就是随机对照研究啊，
So first of all, the initial guidance that was produced, you know, the first ever set of guidance is the consort guidance, which is guidance for how to present a clinical trial.
最早的一个这个指南或者标准呢，就是这个 consort， 它是如何做临床实验研究的啊，
It has its own web page, and there are translations of the consort guidance in Chinese, so it's available for you to read.
它有自己的独立的这样一个网址，然后呢有中文的版本，所以大家呢可以去看一下这个 consort 的这个指南标准。
And all high-quality journals will use the consort guidance for clinical trials, and we expect to see the checklist and the flow diagram submitted along with the paper.
所有的这个刊物呢，现在都要看一下。如果你是一个临床的实验研究的话，都要看你是不是满足了这个 consort 的这个标准。所有的编辑呢，也都期望你能提交两个东西，一个东西呢就是这个流程图另外一个东西呢就是一个列表清单。
So if a paper comes in claiming to be a randomized controlled trial and we look at the documents that have been submitted and there's no checklist and no flow diagram, the paper will be rejected.
如果你的这个论文呢说是一个那个临床试验研究，但是呢你又没有同时提交你这个流程图再加上它这个质检清单，那么基本上来说这个论文就会立刻被拒。
So we expect to see a flow diagram which follows all of the participants in the trial, from those who are eligible right through to the ones who finish the trial.
那么这个流程图里面记载了所有的被纳入的这个研究对象，以及到最后能够完成全部的研究的这个研究对象，还有被排除的这个研究对象。因此一定要提交这个flow diagram， 就是这个流程图哈。
And we also expect, and most major publishers and journals are signed up to the All Trials campaign, we expect that clinical trials will be registered.
还有一个呢，就是希望所有的临床实验呢都要登记注册，有自己的注册码。
And if it's not registered again, we are very unlikely to publish it. And from the beginning of next year, my journal will not accept clinical trials that are not registered.
那么基本上来说，如果没有这个注册码的话，就不太可能会被发表。从下一年就一月份开始，它就会明确说出来，没有这个注册码的这个临床实验呢，都不会被发表。
And there is a Chinese trials registry site which conforms to the World Health Organization standards. So in China, you can register trials on your own site.
每一个国家都有自己的这个注册登记机构，我们国家也是有的。所以就大家要做这种临床试验研究的时候，一定要进行登记注册，在自己国家进行登记注册就可以。
But it's been quite a common problem for Chinese trials to come in unregistered, and I'm afraid that.From the beginning of next year, we won't be able to even allow you to register them retrospectively. They have to be registered in advance.
这个注册码呢，一定要提前注册，不是后注册。所以呢，他现在就可以预见，从明年一月份开始，所有提交的这个来自中国的一些实验研究呢，很有可能都没有注册码。那他不接受这种回头再注册，需要你提前注册的这样的一些投稿。
The most common clinical trials registry site is clinicaltrials.gov in the States. You can use it if your hospital or your university is registered with it, which many Chinese universities and hospitals will be, but you don't have to go here, you can go to your own Chinese registry.
他给大家举一个例子，这是一个美国的一个注册登记机构，因为有中国的好多的医院和大学呢，已经是他的这个登记 地成员，所以呢可以通过这个系统呢进行登记注册。但是他鼓励大家呢，在我们国内我们自己有自己的登记注册这个机构啊。
And the idea behind registering trials is that negative trials don't go unpublished. So people tend to publish trials that work and ignore the ones that don't. But if all the trials are registered, then we get the results of all the trials, basically. So we don't get publication bias.
为什么需要有这个登记注册机构呢？一般来说，你要是得出来的这个正面的这个结果哈，正向的这个结果的话，可能会被这个期刊论文所发表。那都是那些不好的那个结果，阴性的结果呢，可能不会发表。但是呢，在这个登记注册这一方呢，因为所有的这个临床实验呢，在那里都有登记注册，所以你要想了解哪些没有，哪些研究这个阴性的结果没有被发表，那就可以去看这个登记注册机构里面登记的所有的这个临床实验。
And the second set of guidance, the last ones I want to talk about are the PRISMA guidance, and the PRISMA guidance is concerned with publishing systematic reviews and meta-analysis.
那么第二个要想让大家看的这个国际的标准呢，就是这个 PRISMA， 它是一个发表这个meta 分析和这个系统验综述的一个指南。
And of course, it has its own web page, it has its own checklist, and it has its own flow diagram.
所以这个 PRISMA 呢也是一样，它也跟那个 CONSULT 一样，有自己的这个网站，然后也有自己的一些相关的规定，包括那个流程图。
So we expect to see the checklist and the flow diagram submitted with systematic reviews. If they're not, I'm afraid the review will be rejected.
所以这个系统文献综述还有这个 meta 分析呢，你在提交这个稿件的时候，要同时提交你的这个流程图和那个 checklist， 就是那个质检清单，否则的话基本上就不会被发表。
And we expect that the flow diagram does the same thing as the flow diagram in a randomized controlled trial. Instead of counting the people, it counts all of the papers that were entered into the study and the ones that were finally reviewed.
这个流程图呢，跟刚才那个 consult 不一样。consult 是关于所有你收入那个纳入的这个研究对象，它最后的这个去向的这个问题。这个那个 PRISM 呢，是一个文献综述的一个流程图，它记录了所有的你从一开始检出来的所有的论文，它最后的去向的问题，以及你最后被纳入的进行这个系统分析的这个文献。
Okay, I'm going to move on from the standards to talk about ethics.
下面呢，他就从关于这个发表的这个标准到来说一下关于这个发表的政治性，这个学术端正的问题。
So we don't have a great deal of time to talk about publication ethics, but I'm talking about things like plagiarism, which is copying other people's work, duplication, publishing your own work twice, or making up results, fabrication, or falsification, which means exaggerating results. So, get all that?
Yes.那个，他现在要谈到关于这个发表的这个关于这个伦理的问题，就学术端不端的问题哈。要谈几个问题，一个是关于剽窃的问题，还有一个呢，就自己的东西呢，同一个东西发表两次，发表不止一次。另外一个呢，就是关于伪造数据的这些问题。
So.Everything you need to know about publication ethics is on the COPE webpage, the Committee on Publication Ethics webpage.
大家要了解这个发表的伦理的时候呢，就要知道它有一个标准是叫 COPE 这个指南哈，在这个指南上面有明确的规定了跟发表这个伦理有关系的内容。
And there's guidance there for authors, editors, and for publishers, and for reviewers. So whichever way you're involved in the publishing industry, COPE has a standard for it.
这个 COPE COPE 哈，这个 COPE 呢，它包括四类这个指南的这个标准规定。一类呢是关于这个出版商出版机构关于这个审稿人，关于这个编辑，还有一个呢是部分内容是关于这个作者的。所以你的这个跟发表有关系的，不管是涉及到哪一个层面的，都要遵守这些发表的指南。
And most of the important guidance, the key guidance, is available in Chinese.
最重要的这些指南是有中文版的哈，它是独立的网站。
So, second part of your homework is have a look at the COPE webpage, have a look at the Chinese resources, and then you'll have no excuses for doing anything wrong.
所以他建议大家要做的工作就回家看看这个中文的这个跟 COPE 有关系的一些指南，你不要再为自己以后的时候没有遵守这个学术这个端正的问题，犯了学术不端找任何理由哈。
Okay.Again, moving on to another big issue, which is an ethical issue as well, and that's the issue of authorship And we conform to the ICMJE guidance, the International Committee of Medical Journal Editors guidance on authorship.
下面要谈这个伦理的问题呢，是关于这个作者身份的这个问题。他们的这个刊物呢，是遵守的这个 ICMJE， 大家能看到那个全称，全称在最上面哈，就是这个上面关于这个作者身份的一个说明的问题。
And there's guidance on this page about two things. One is authorship, and the other is conflicts of interest, another ethical area.
这个大家到这个网站上以后呢，能看到有两个内容非常的重要，一个是关于作者身份的问题、认定的问题，还有一个呢就是关于这个这个有没有这个利益冲突的问题。
These things are also covered by COPE, but the ICMJE was there before COPE, and COPE essentially uses their standards for both of these aspects of publishing.
这个刚才说到那个 COPE 呢，其实有关于这些方面的这个资料说明，但是这个 COPE 呢，也转引了来自 ICMJE 的这些一个相关的标准，所以说呢，他就来谈一下这个 ICMJE 的这个标准。
Now, we definitely don't have time to go into conflicts of interest. That's a very complex area, but I do want to talk about authorship, because authorship is an issue here in China.
他不想给大家谈很多关于利益冲突的问题，因为太复杂了，也没时间。但是呢，他觉得在中国呢，有一个比较严重的问题，涉及到那个作者身份的问题，所以他想在这里呢，谈谈作者身份的问题。
And the guidance is really very simple. Basically, what it says is anybody who made a contribution to a paper should be an author. Anyone who didn't shouldn't.
那么其实呢，原则很简单，就是任何人对这个论文呢有贡献的都可以成为一个作者，但是任何没有贡献的人都不应该是一个作者。
But it explains it as follows. It says anybody who's an author should have made a substantial contribution to conception and design, or acquisition of data, or analysis and interpretation of data.
那么这种真正的贡献呢，要是一种实质性的真正的这种贡献，主要是关于你像概念的这种形成呀，概念的形成、研究的设计、资料的收集啊、分析，还有资料的这个解读。
So if you've done those things, you're an author. If you haven't, you're not.
如果这些都没干的话，就肯定不是作者。干了就是作者。
So this excludes the deans and the professors and the top doctors in the hospital from being an author on a paper simply because they gave you permission to do the study or because they're your boss. I know it happens, but it shouldn't happen.
有一些情况就是说，你的那个上级的主管，然后呢，教授们，甭管什么样的人，他其实没做过这些方面的工作，但是他允许你去做这些工作，你把他列为作者，这个不是作者的这个没满足做作者的这个要求。
Now, it's very difficult if you're a junior academic to deal with this, if senior academics are asking to be on your papers for doing nothing. It's a very difficult issue, I know that.
比较困难的就是如果你比较年轻啊，有年长的人呢，说希望能做你这个论文的这个作者，有的时候比较难拒绝。
But this is one of the most common problems that I have to deal with as an editor.
这也是他自己做编辑以后呢，最难处理的。
But it's one of those issues I can do nothing about. All I can do is throw the problem back to the people and say, look, you've got to sort this out.
他做的很简单，就是把你的稿子拒了，跟你说你自己解决这个问题。
So it's a very, it's difficult. It causes a lot of upset between people. It rips teams of researchers apart. So you've really got to be very careful about authorship.
那这件事情很让人这个沮丧不好哈，然后呢，但是你一旦接受去发表，那毁了就是我们发表的这个伦理的问题。
And the best idea is to decide at the beginning of a project who the authors are going to be and stick to it.
那么最简单的就是你在写论文之前的时候，做这个项目之前的时候呢，先决定好，谁是作者。
So in addition to that.I mean, there's more than that. If you've done those things, you should also have been involved in writing the manuscript.
还有一个内容，就除了刚才说过的那些内容之外，你也还要参与这个论文的撰写的过程。
And regardless of how much work you've done out of any of those areas, everybody who claims to be an author has to approve and agree that the final version is submitted. If somebody doesn't agree, then they either have to come off.Or the paper has to be changed. Everybody has to agree before it's submitted.
还有一点内容就是所有的作者呢都必须对这个论文要提稿的这个终稿的论文中的所有的内容呢都比较认同。如果有人有不同的意见的话，那么你这个稿子就比较厚。
So if you're submitting a paper, don't submit it unless everybody agrees and everyone knows about it.
除非是每一个人都同意，那时候你再投稿。
And finally, everybody has to be accountable for the paper. Even if they don't understand all of the statistics and all of the analysis, they have to be accountable. In other words, if something goes wrong with the paper, they're as responsible as any other author on the paper.
所有的被列上名字的那个作者们都要对论文的所有的内容进行负责啊，不管你的贡献到底是多少，写的有多少。
So we give this guidance in order to try to prevent things from going wrong, so we don't have to investigate things afterwards. We want people to behave as ethically and as morally and as honestly as possible.
之所以把这些列得这么清楚呢，就是为了让大家呢提前进行预防，不要让他们呢在事后发现了以后呢再进行深度的这个调查。大家都要诚实的这个遵守于这个发表这个文理的这个要求。
So I don't think there's anything there you would disagree with. If there are people who've done other substantial bits of work, but none of those things, they can be acknowledged on the paper. And that's a good thing to do. I mentioned that SCI journals encourage acknowledgements of other contributions.
还有一个呢，就是大家觉得有的人做了这个贡献之后呢，但是又不是作者，还有这个做的一件事情，就是充分利用好这个致谢部分，在其中你们可以谈到那些所有对你的论文或者研究有贡献的那一群人，感谢他们的付出。
Okay. So anybody who's helped with writing or getting the money or has given you access to patients or given you permission, they can be acknowledged, but they aren't necessarily an author.
所有为你的这个论文成型研究实施呢，给予过什么经济上的这个许可性的或者其他这种便利性的这种帮助的，都可以在这一部分进行体现。
And the final line there mentions something important as well, is that the order of authorship should be agreed before the paper is submitted.
还有一个呢，就是关于那个作者顺序的问题，强调的也是在这个论文成型之前的时候，就论文开始写之前的时候呢，就首先要达成这个顺序，作者的先后顺序。
Now, it might surprise you to know that within the publishing industry and to editors, order of authorship does not matter at all. We don't care who's first, last, or in the middle. All we want to know is that everyone was responsible for the paper. We have no view at all on who should be first, last, or anywhere. There's no agreed rules about that.
这个论文在受理的整个过程中，其实对于编辑来说，他根本就不在乎谁是第一作者，谁是最后一作者，这个作者的顺序是什么。就是你交稿之前，你投稿之前的时候呢，自己要达成一致，以后再去这个投稿，自己解决哈。
So the ICMJE and COPE have nothing to say about order of authorship.
那个这两个标准，一个是 COPE， 一个是 ICMJE 呢，都没有谈到关于这个作者顺序的这个问题，不涉及这个作者顺序的问题。
But there is some guidance, for example, from the British Sociological Association.
其中有一个这个英国的这个British
Sociology.
那个有一个英国的这个社会学的学会，它里面确实是谈到了关于这个作者顺序的这个问题。
Okay.And they make some sensible suggestions. They say that the person who's done most of the work and taken a lead on the project and led in writing should be the first author. It's quite simple.
他做了一些很明智的这样一种这个判断，就是说，凡是那些做了大量的工作，起到了这个带头做这个作用的，那么这个人应该是做第一作。
And then other people can go in alphabetically or whatever, but it's up to you to decide how you're going to do it. We don't have any particular guidance on that. They make a comment on the first author, but that's all.
他们只是对第一作呢进行了这个说明。那么至于后面的那一群人到底应该怎么排序啊，那是大家自己决定。
But the most important thing is consult with your other authors and come to an agreed decision.
这个建议就是说，你自己要和周围的这些所有的这个作者呢，要达成一致意见，关于这个作者序的问题。
And stick to it, because while we don't have guidance on order of authorship, if people want to change it after publication, that becomes an ethical issue. Or if people want to add another author during the submission process, that becomes an ethical issue. So it's well to decide these things very, very early in the process.
就是你要那个讨论清楚了，达成一致。但是如果你一旦想改这个作者的顺序，不管是要发表或者在中间的投稿的这个过程中，想改这个作者顺序的时候，就变成了一个伦理的问题了。所以最好的建议就是在之前就做出决策，这个作者的顺序。
Now, earlier I mentioned digital object identifiers. Again, this is not very exciting stuff, but these are very important. This is what identifies your paper in the digital domain and you know, makes it your paper. But, you know, once you've got the DOI for the paper, you can link it to your own career, to your own accounts. It's a very important number. So once a paper has a DOI, it's fully published. I've said this before, but I just wanted to emphasize that.
再强调一遍，就是一篇论文若是完整发表了以后呢，它一定有自己的数字代码，就是这个 DOI。所以呢，你有了这个 DOI 之后呢，你就可以在所有的地方呢去索引这个 DOI， 它可以直接把这篇文章呢跟你的这个其他的这个什么寻找这些信息的地方呢连在一起。
So the DOI, if you type it into a search engine like Yahoo or whatever is available here, it should take you to that paper. So it should it's a unique identifier for the paper.
这个数字这个代码呢是你的论文的唯一的这个编码啊，跟人的身份信息是一样的。那么你不管是用什么样的搜索引擎，就在我们这个地方可以用的。那么你把这个 DOI 呢放进去以后呢，接着就可以直接导入到你自己的那个论文中去啊，这是他的这个思想。
Okay, but there's information on the internet if you want to look at that. So I'm just going to finish with a couple of more slides, I think. What I'm going to talk about now, just to finish off, is how to deal with comments from reviewers once you get your paper back.
下面呢，他要谈谈怎么来处理应对那个审稿专家给回的一些评语、一些意见。
If you submit a paper and it gets rejected, that's bad news. If you get it back for revisions, that's really good news. Nearly every paper that gets published will go through revision.
那个所有的你刚刚被拒了呢，是另外一回事儿哈。其中有一个非常重要的，就是有的可能会给你一个回复意见，就让你修改修稿。那么这个时候，这个专家的意见就很重要了啊。
But some people seem to get very upset about having to do revisions.
有的人就很沮丧嘛，不愿意看到专家还要求你修稿。
You shouldn't. You should be happy if you have revisions to do. It's a good thing.
但事实上，让你修稿是个令人高兴的事情啊。
But you have to deal with the revisions. If you're asked to do revisions, you can't ignore them. You have to deal with them.
所以要求你进行修稿的时候，你就必须得进行修稿啊。
And there's an excellent paper by somebody called Williams in the American Journal of Dermatology, which talks about the golden rules of dealing with reviewers' comments.
有一个学者呢，他就谈到了说关于这个竞标者这个问题哈。
And I'll just say what the golden rules are, and we'll stop there. But the first of the golden rules is to answer completely, deal with everything that the reviewers bring up.
一个呢，就是要完全的回答所有的那个审稿专家提出来的每一项意见和建议，是这是第一条原则或者标准啊。
So even if a reviewer says something that you think is wrong or you can't address, you have to address it. That doesn't mean to say you have to do it. You have to at least explain why you can't address it. Never ignore a comment, because that really annoys reviewers and annoys editors. So you've got to make some attempt to address the comment.
就不管这个审稿专家给回应的意见是什么，你不要选择无视他，一定要说一说。即便你什么都不做，你也要说明你为什么不能对这件事情予以说明，对他提出来的任何一个问题都要进行回应。
I've often had disputes with reviewers about papers I've published. If I've explained in the process why I can't deal with the point, I've always had those papers accepted. So don't be afraid to argue with the reviewer, but to do it nicely.
这个即便他不一定要求你予以说明或者做一些这个改善，其实也可以不做，就是他也不一定全是这个正确的，所以呢，不要担心太害怕，跟他做这个争执。
So my advice for dealing with reviewers' comments is to make a table of all the comments you've been given, even if they're just written as a bit of text. Pull out all the comments, make a table, say which page the comment was on, say what you've done, say where that's done, and make any other comments. But try to deal with them all systematically.
他给大家一个好的这个建议呢，就是系统的应对处理这个审稿专家的一些意见怎么办呢？你就是把他给出的所有的意见你都列在里面，对吧？然后看他这个意见呢是指向了哪一些具体的内容，然后说明了你自己是怎么改的、怎么修的，修的内容和改的内容放在哪个地方呢？做一张表单，这样就是一目了然的，你能看到你所做的这种系统性的修改啊，这个方法比较好一些。
The other thing to do is make sure that you do the changes in red font.
还有一个呢，就是你改的时候呢，要标示出来，比如说用红字标示出来。
That does two things. One, it shows the reviewer that you've made the changes.
第一件事情呢，就是你用红字标示呢，专家就会看到你确实替你改了。
Two, it makes sure they only read those comments, they don't read the rest of the paper and find something else wrong with it, so it focuses them in on the changes you've made.
第二个呢，就用红字呢，就让那些写好专家，因为他是他第二次阅读嘛，所以他就不看其他他看过的，觉得没问题的，他就光看他觉得有问题的，不然的话，他从其他的那些地方又挑出来一些新的问题。
So it works every time.
每次都会起作用的啊，不要担心。
Second golden rule, answer politely. Never ever express anger or any kind of disappointment in the review.
第二个要点呢，就是回答那个回应的，做出回应的时候，一定要有礼貌，不要表现出你的像这个愤怒呀、你觉得失望呀这一类的这种情绪。
No, this is not a problem in China because everyone in China is very polite.
中国不存在这个问题，因为这个我们的中国人嘛，都是非常的有礼貌。
But where I come from, people are not so polite and they say terrible things.
他是中国人嘛，他说他那里面。
And it doesn't help.
所以难听的不好听的话没什么用。
So your letter to the reviewer should be, thank you for the review, it was very helpful, we are very glad to take the points into account, please see, you know.
反正你就是都明白了，很简单哈，很高兴啊。
I'm saying this as an author, not as an editor. I've been on both sides of the fence.
还有从那个做那个站在角度作者的这个角度上面来说的哈。
And the third point is, if you are disputing something from a reviewer, give evidence. Don't just say that you agree. Give some evidence to support that point.
第三个呢，就是说你跟这个专家呢有争议，存有争议，不要光说你不同意、不赞成一类的，一定要有相关的证据附上他们看。
Right, final slide. I'd like to point you to a very interesting resource.Called Nurse Author and Editor.
最后一个就是给大家分享一个非常有用的这个资源，就是护士的这个编辑还有护士的作者
This is supported by my publisher Wiley, and it's organized by INANE, the International Association of Nursing Editors.
它这个呢是由他们这个 Wiley 他所在的出版商哈，他们资助的，还有另外的一个护理的编辑国际委员会他们这个。
And edited by a very good friend and colleague Leslie Nicol from the United States.
他就是那个美国的一个，是他的一个很好的朋友，这个运营这个的。
And the best nurse author and editor contains advice about writing for authors and for editors. So it contains articles on how to write an introduction, or how to write a discussion, or how to avoid plagiarism.Simple things like this, very practical.
这里面毕业的一些内容都很实用，就是关于比如说，怎么写这个前言呀，怎么写这个内容等等之类的，所以很有帮助，大家可以去看看啊。
And the best thing is, it's free.
还有一个呢，免费的。
So you just have to go online and you can see the articles. You can register an email and you'll get alerts when the new articles come out, but you don't need any password or anything like that. All the articles are free to read. And I would really advise you, they're in English, but I'd really advise you to have a look at this if you can.
强烈建议大家都去看看啊，它要求很简单，就是你登记注册一下，用你的邮箱就可以。这样每一个新的论文发表的时候呢，它就会有一个通知告知你，你可以读到这上面的所有的这个资料。就是说它是个英文的而已。
Okay, well, finally, I want to show you my email address if anybody wants to contact me.
最后就是给大家分享一下他自己的电邮，有什么人都可以随意的跟他联系哈。
Don't hesitate.
不用犹豫了。
Say nice things.
说好听的。
You won't be able to follow me on Twitter unless you break the law, of course, but you can follow me on, you can join me on WeChat if you want. I use WeChat all the time.
他用那个微信，所以呢，大家可以用微信来跟踪他的一些信息。但是呢，他也在发推特嘛，有推送哈，微信。大家可能你要去硬看的话，可能是违法的，因为他在中国是禁用的哈。
And I don't know how many of you have heard of ORCID or have an ORCID number, But those of you who are thinking of pursuing academic careers or doing any kind of writing and publishing, you should have an ORCID number.
再一个呢，对学术感兴趣的和将来做的工作是跟学术有关系的，一定要有一个这个 ORCID number 啊，里面尤其是里面有很多关于你的发表作品的。
Takes you about 5 minutes to set up online, and it's free.
免费的啊，大概花5分钟左右的时间就可以登记完成。
It gives you a unique identifying number which will follow you for the rest of your life.
它是一个非常这个唯一的一个你的身份的一种代码。那么你一旦登记注册以后呢，它就会终生的跟随你，免费的。
In fact, it will follow you after you've died as well.
你死了还会存在的啊。
But it's very useful in China because people have got very similar names. So if your name is Zhang Yuli and there's another person with the same name, the number will distinguish which one it is.
在中国非常有用，因为可能重名，那么但是这个数字这个代码呢是不重复的。
And then if you link your publications to it with DOIs on the internet, that's it fixed. You know, those papers cannot be taken by anybody else, they can't be ascribed to anybody else, they're uniquely yours, and it actually updates itself regularly, so it's a very clever system.
Okay, then we can do the same. For example, you have a paper, you have a DOI, you have a number, you can link your number and your ORCID together, and the other people can't take it, it will automatically do the same.
So that's 3 bits of homework. 1, have a look at Equator. 2, have a look at COPE. 3, get yourself an ORCID number.
给大家留三项工作，留三项内容都记住了吗？看看 Equator 这个网站，然后呢，看看读读那个 COPE 那个指南啊。还有一个呢，就是去给自己建一个 ORCID 的这个代码啊。
Well, it's been a fantastic pleasure to speak to you this morning.Some people are still awake. You've been very quiet and attentive, and I'd like to thank Amy for excellent translation.
Thank you.
And I'm very happy to take any questions if they want to ask me any questions.
可以问问题，他很高兴今天有机会给大家讲啊，所以大家可以问问题。
Thank you. 谢谢。
可以了。